Good morning and welcome to episode 8 of TBP Talks. This week I wanted to give the people behind the camera some attention. As those of you who are regular listeners on our podcast will know that I tend to chat with a lot of influencers and industry leaders and those who have careers very much in front of the camera. So today, who better to chat to than Mr. Cal Macbeth? The man behind the lens, as I like to call him, a photographer who has worked for some of the very best influencers in the business. And he is here with me now to chat all things photography. So hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
This is very exciting.
So we obviously know you really well here at the Blogger Programme. You were our head photographer for our London Fashion Week hangout September, which was super fun. And as we regularly get asked a lot of questions that are photography related questions, we thought it made total sense to bring you in, do a TBP Talks episode that is solely dedicated to photography. But it's really funny because when I got in contact with you and said, oh, we can call it the man behind the lens, you actually had a really funny story about that. Do you want to just let us know? Because I think, or let our listeners know, because I thought it was really good.
Right. Yeah. So this kind of goes way back to where I started with photography. And that was running a fashion lifestyle blog with my girlfriend at the time. We're not together now, but we're still best friends. Her blog was Girl in the Lens.
What was it?
Girl in the Lens.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's an author now and she's, you know, New York Times bestseller and she's
doing
amazing things. But something that was always in the back of my mind and the back of her mind as well was to create maybe like a sub-blog section that was focused on me, or not on me, but on say some of the equipment I'm using, the way I do things and maybe tech reviews, things like that. And we're bouncing around some ideas and it sort of settled on the boy behind the lens.
I know, it's great. So when in our emails I was saying, what about man behind the lens? You were like, I've actually been called boy behind the lens before. So I thought that was really good. So like I said, today's episode is obviously all about the unsung heroes, the photographers behind the camera, capturing all this incredible content that we see all over our Instagram feeds, I think a lot of the time, and who really deserve the recognition and credit for the content. So maybe before we get into the nitty gritty, tell us a bit about yourself and how you got into photography.
Right. So first of all, my name's Cal.
We are with Cal.
Wow. Okay. So this goes back to when I was 16.
Okay.
My dad got me my first camera because I used to always nab my parents' cameras, their digital cameras, and just like, take pictures of my feet, my TV, the sink, anything, you name it. But then it wasn't until I got my first camera that I started really just messing around and sort of I felt independent with it.
Okay.
Like I could create things and I just put a lot of time into just messing about with it and like fiddling with all the settings. I didn't have the pressure of work at the time or trying to make something of it. I just had the complete freedom, you know, being a 16-year-old as well, just to like do what I want with it.
Instagram and do something that I guess you loved because that really fascinated you.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. You'd be able to capture and see things, maybe like macro or long exposures or quick exposures that, you know, you just couldn't see normally with your eyes. So that like absolutely fascinated me. And that was, I think, the seed. It wasn't until way later on that I actually started trying to make something of it. So I actually trained as an electrical engineer.
Okay.
Electrical and electronic engineer, studied in London, then did a short 3-month stint as a runner at a visual effects studio.
Okay.
Just, you know, moving equipment back and forward, but got an amazing insight into that industry, which is just fascinating. It's one of the most interesting things I think I've ever seen. But that was always intended to be a short stint before I went into finance.
Oh, wow. Okay, so totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they recruited me straight out of uni. So I went to work in investment banking and finance in the city.
And how did you find that?
Mixed. Yeah, very, very much mixed. So I feel like I was very lucky where I was working and that the people and the culture, the business culture that I was surrounded by was sort of top-notch. Very, very much an inclusive environment. But extremely hardworking. So some of the things that I picked up from that business practices way of running things and doing things was like totally invaluable. Mm. But when it came down to the workload and work-life balance, it just wasn't quite there for me. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until quite late on, sort of towards like the fourth year of doing that, you know, I just had this heavy feeling, just like, you know, this isn't quite for me. And looking around and seeing some of the people that I was working with, like some great friends of mine, they super passionate about what they were doing and super interested. And I was comparing that to myself and just thinking, I can do it, but I don't love it. I'm not really into it.
Doesn't wake me up in the morning and make me excited. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I was still running the blog with Natasha at the time. So that was always, in my mind, something to fall back on. Or maybe not fall back on, but just an alternative route forwards.
Absolutely,
And it wasn't until kind of it got to a point where, and until I quit, like I'd never done a paid job. Everything was just weekends and evenings, just photographing for Tasha, and just like we were just having fun with it, having a lot of fun with it.
Bit of a side hustle, a hobby.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it wasn't until, you know, I just kind of had that realization moment. I was like, you know, this isn't for me. If I don't try something that I think I'm really passionate about now, I'm just going to start regretting not having tried it sooner. So I quit, spent 3 months on my bum, just on the sofa, eating pizza, which looking back on it, sounds awful. Like, that's a long time to be doing nothing. At the time, I was having the time of my life. Like, believe me, it was great. But yeah, it wasn't until 3 months later that I then started to sort of pick myself up and be like, all right, okay, this is it. I got to try and make it. And I just sort of took it from there. I had the equipment already from the stuff I was doing with Girl in the Lens back in the day, and just started trying to do some things, trying to do some shoots with people.
And was that you outreaching to them? Like, how did you sort of even set up your first type of photography shoot? Was it paid? Was it unpaid? Like, how did you get into it?
Yeah, so unpaid, not all the time, but it's a big debate. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I already had a bit of a network through Natasha and the Girl in the Lens. We've been to events, we're on the list for certain things. So that was a good sort of segue into it. But then outside of bloggers and, you know, the blogging industry, I already had some people through word of mouth. That for me has been like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Word of mouth. People talk, my mum. You know, my mum's great.
Mums always big you up. I love them.
Yeah, they do. And my dad and my whole family just like putting my name out there and recommending me.
That's fantastic.
But then it's not until you actually do a job and people see what you produce and if they like it or not. And then they start talking about it. And that's where the best conversion is.
And yeah. Describe your style of photography. What is sort of your favourite thing to shoot? And how would you describe you as a photographer?
Right. Personally, I'd say it's a big question.
I know. I knew it would be tough as well because you do quite a lot of, well, from what I've seen from your portfolio, you do things like wedding, but you also do influencer. You also do different, you know, I've seen you do travel photography as well. Right. So I know you're very broad, but do you have a style when it comes to all this different content?
Yeah. So sort of amongst everything that I do, I think what most attracts me, like if it wasn't on a job or anything, the essence of photography that sort of draws me is capturing like candid moments, people, especially at weddings or events like that where everyone's like on their A game, everyone's having a good time, and just not being noticed as being there as a photographer, but just kind of capturing moments where, you know, someone cracks a joke and someone's laughing, like a proper deep belly laugh or something like that, and like capturing those expressions. I absolutely love.
And I think you did that perfectly, not comparing it to a wedding, but at our London Fashion Week. It was so busy, wasn't it? I mean, it was over three floors. It was absolutely packed out, but you captured just the perfect moments when people were laughing, they were chatting, they were interacting. And so it's that kind of sort of raw footage that you really like to...
Yeah, I like the, almost the, not quite vulnerability, but the sort of the innocence of those sort of moments where people don't, you know, they're not posing. They're not showing up for camera. They're just being themselves and having a good time.
And do you tend to do more photography than videography?
Yes.
You do?
This year, I'm on a mission to really sort of do a lot more with video. I think I was quite naive in thinking, I mean, a couple of years back, that if you can take a good photo, you can easily take some video. And also the post-production, like if you can make a photo look good with all the colours and stuff, you can do exactly the same. No, it's a whole other ball game. And I really realized it in the last sort of year or so. So I've sort of been a bit slow to dip into that because I've just gone with what I think is kind of my forte, which is, you know, the photography.
So the influencer industry is obviously booming. You couldn't be an influencer 5-10 years ago. Has the rise in influencers given you more opportunities in your photography career?
Yes and no. It has, but it's made it way more competitive. So I've only really been active as a freelancer for the last sort of couple of years, but it's been difficult because everyone's out there trying to like grab a piece of the cake, so to speak. So, you know, it feels like everyone is a photographer nowadays. And okay. And so many people are doing free shoots or asking for free shoots, you know, on both sides, both the influencers or the bloggers and the photographers. So that makes it quite difficult for someone to make a living out of it because, you know, some of these people might be just doing it in the evenings or weekends, which, you know, in all fairness, that's a great thing to do. But there comes a point where if someone needs a photographer and it's for a campaign or something like that, that they need to be putting the right level of investment into it to ensure that what they're producing is of the right standard. And it's not to say that you can't get lucky with like an iPhone shot or, you know, whatever, just in the right moment, you get the right light, your friends there with you, they grab a snap and that's it. That's great. But it's in situations that are more demanding, that are pushing the extremes a little bit more. Like if you're in a dark restaurant or an even darker, anything.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, anywhere.
A location that doesn't have the best lighting in the world.
Yeah, or for some reason there's a demanding situation that, you know, phones and things like that just don't meet the standards, or, you know, the lower level cameras don't, you know, can't deliver.
Yeah.
It's at that point that you realize that you need someone that sort of really knows what they're doing. And I'm not saying that I know it all. I don't. But I feel like I'm very well prepared for the vast majority of situations. I've got the lighting equipment. I've got redundancy across my kit. I typically am seen walking around with a very big bag.
I mean, you came in today with a very big bag too. So is that because all your equipment's in there?
No, that's my badminton stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm off to play badminton.
I love that.
Later.
I'm keeping that in. Okay, Cal's going to badminton after this.
Yeah, trying to get a good workout in. But what I mean by redundancy now is if say someone hires me to do a job, be it a wedding, be it for anyone, absolutely anyone, if I'm being paid to do something, I need to make sure that I deliver on it. Essentially, need to guarantee that, because if I can't, I lose the job, then it damages reputation, et cetera, et cetera.
You can't redo the event or the campaign or the, yeah.
Exactly. So imagine, you know, you're at a wedding and...
Sorry, can you just redo that?
Oh my gosh, that keeps me up at night. That really does keep me up at night. You know, the bride and groom walking out after the ceremony, everyone throws confetti, one of your card gets corrupted, and you're like, ah, damn. Like, what do you say? What do you do?
Have you ever had a situation like that before?
Fortunately, not a wedding.
Okay.
I have been on a shoot where one of my cards has corrupted a few images. But, and this is the important thing about redundancy, is the kit that I have, I ensure that I'm recording on two cards simultaneously. So if one card fails, I've got a backup of everything. If my camera fails, I've got a whole other camera in my bag as well.
Nice.
If any of my lens break, there are alternatives. Which means that if I'm on a shoot and something goes wrong, I just go, give me a minute, swap some stuff out and carry on. And then that means that they get what they paid for, essentially with a bit of a guarantee that, you know, whatever happens, I'm going to deliver. And that's important. Yeah.
So maybe tell us about a recent influencer that you've worked with on a campaign and sort of what would be the process? Because I think our listeners are really interested to know, now that there are so many photographers out there working with influencers, how does it work? Would they give you a brief? Would you have more creative input than them? What is sort of like the process?
Right. I mean, great question. Because when I first got into it as well, it was new to me. Understanding, you know, where does the creative control lie? So with a lot of the people that I work with, you know what, it varies. It does vary a lot. Sometimes they will have a very clear creative vision of what they want to produce.
Yeah.
In line with, you know, the guidelines or the creative brief that they have from, you know, with the campaign. Or the brand. In which case they sort of employ me to essentially just capture what they've asked for and deliver on their vision, which is fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. There are other occasions where it'll be the other way around. They'll say, I've got a very loose brief. I'm not entirely sure what to do here. What can we do? And then...
Are those the ones you love?
Yeah, honestly, I love both.
Do you?
I love the mix of it.
Yeah.
Because with that sort of responsibility comes the pressure. And then when you're thinking, oh, geez, I've got to always give that.
Yeah, think of those ideas. Yeah,
yeah, it can get tiring. But also, I love it. I love the freedom of being able to say, okay, let's try this. Let's also try this and something else. And we just bounce around ideas. And most of the time, it becomes a very collaborative way of working where, you know, we'll just bounce the ideas around. The most important thing for me is to have a good time with it, because if you have a good time with it, it's just great. It's great for everyone. You can walk away and just like, oh, it was a good shoot. Like, yeah. I've had a good day kind of thing. But pretty much every shoot I do, I try and make sure that there is collaboration at that level.
Brilliant. Yeah,
on to the next one, really.
And is there a favourite shoot that you've worked on maybe in the last 6 months? Can be influencer with an influencer or totally unrelated?
Yeah. Oh, at the weekend, Liddy was at the BAFTAs and we met for a shoot in London.
I'm just going to say, in case anyone's listening and we keep bringing up Lydia, Lydia is a fashion and lifestyle blogger. She's at Lydia Millen, and her husband Ali Gordon is also a influencer. So that is who we are talking about, in case nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, I think it's Lydia E. Millen.
There we go.
But
Lydia
E. Millen. She'll pop up. Yeah. She'll pop up. right, so we were in her hotel room. And she had a few clear ideas of, oh, I'm gonna get a photo here in this dress. I want to do something here. And this is one that she posted, I think, yesterday. It's had an incredible response.
And was that you that shot it?
Yeah, I shot it, but it was definitely her idea. So she said, you know, I want to be in this red dress, and I want to sit on the table, lift up the phone. I mean, you can take a look at it if you want. It's a beautiful photo, if I do say so myself.
You're allowed.
but it was one of those moments where I think it's like a perfect example of the collaborative effort that has to happen. I think it's a beautifully powerful image as well. Yeah.
So what are some of your top tips when it comes to photography? And maybe what's the best advice you've maybe received and that you could tell some aspiring photographers out there?
Yeah.
Another big question.
Yeah, they are.
We
big
like
questions.
These big questions, don't we?
So I think the best piece of advice that I was given, totally unrelated to photography, it was when I was working in my previous job in finance, in a very high pressure environment, very very competitive, and my manager at the time gave me the advice, you know, don't compare yourself to anyone, just focus on doing what you're doing and do it to the best of your abilities, and just keep doing that.
I like that.
Yeah. But if you're focusing on what you're doing, you just keep saner.
Yeah.
Because if you're seeing other people produce beautiful stuff as well, and it's, you know, it can end up being very detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah, to your well-being, thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not
I think
doing
that
this.
Definitely applies to influencers as well. There's, you know, there's so many of them nowadays in all different genres and niches and things. And I think you just have to focus on what you're good at and your passion points.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. But also self-belief, a little bit, not a lot, enough to make you say like, yes, I can do this.
Yeah.
And go out there and just do something with it.
Brilliant.
Because honestly, for a long time before I started freelancing, I never believed in myself. Even the stuff that I was producing for Natasha, a girl in the lens, like she has been my biggest supporter, and she has always believed and pushed me. When I never did. But yeah, you need a bit of self-belief.
Definitely.
To get going.
So what would you say then after... That's really interesting, actually, how you didn't have that confidence to begin with and now look where you are now and the caliber of people that you're working with. What would you say is maybe your most notable moment within your photography career so far?
Gosh. So one of my my friends got married. Actually, sort of like friend of a friend. They got married, but they essentially one of their closer friends got hired me to take photos at their wedding. They had already had professional wedding photographers there for the whole day, but they wanted a little something, a little different, a little extra, but not just a little extra. But they wanted me to capture some of the moments, and I guess this is more of a personal thing, but. Some of the moments that I captured in that and some of the sort of the candid moments as well, coming back to like the stuff I really, really love. Seeing their reactions when I presented the photos to them, it's just, oh, it just makes me like sing. Not sing, it just makes me like smile so much inside and on the outside. Like, it just makes me so happy to be able to give people some photos and then just like love them to yeah. pieces. And then they're just so grateful. They're so happy and they love them. And that feeling, I mean, it's always overwhelming. I'm just like, oh my God, like, stop it. But yeah, it's such a good feeling. And I absolutely love that.
So before we wrap up, we thought it would be really nice to open up the questions to our Instagram followers.
Yes.
So last week we did a Ask Cal question time on our stories, and we had some really nice variety of questions actually that have come in. So I'm going to go through them now. We did have, like I said to you before the podcast, about 20 questions regarding what's it like being Lydia's BFF? So we'll leave that one out. But so we've got one from Mrs. Monique Rue. What is the best part about your job and how did you make the transition to being full time? So we kind of have touched on that, but maybe if we sort of pinpoint that progression, that transition from part time to full time.
Right, right. So I was fortunate enough that I had the equipment, I had the experience, and when I made that break, it was very much jumping in the deep end. Like, I cut off everything that I was doing before, and I was like, I have to float now. I have to float on my own. There's nothing to hold on to. I know that not everyone is fortunate enough to have that sort of opportunity to make, you know, such a contrasting switch from, you know, one end of the spectrum to another, especially like a full-time switch. So I think a lot of it comes down to the self-belief as well, is make sure that you are confident enough to make you think that, yeah, I can do this.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So we have another one from Kezia at Katie. How do you organize your days as a photographer, as surely no 2 days are the same?
Yes.
I think this one's a really interesting one, actually, because being freelance, it can be hard to have that routine and, you know, sort of organize your life. It's not like going into an office 9 to 5. You are here, there and everywhere probably most weeks. So, how do you organize that?
It changes a lot. Being super strict on your calendar, I think, is the most important thing that you could do. Making sure that even if you're penciling something in, make sure it's in there. I think I'm fortunate enough at the moment that I'm on a fairly regular working schedule. I'm working a lot with Ali and Lydia at the moment, so that gives a bit of routine and structure to my week. Making sure that you're not too pushed for time.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start rushing, you get stressed.
That's a good one. So allocating enough time and always being on top of your calendar.
Yeah, like always put in a little bit of a buffer and don't work too hard, because the worst thing that can happen, I think, is you cram too much into one day. You might start letting people down by being like, oh, sorry, I'm running really, really late, or going to have to cancel because something's happened and you can't make it now. So don't overpromise.
Okay, that's a good one.
But work hard.
Definitely. This is from Katie Shea. How did you work out your price points as a photographer?
Good question.
I guess it's for aspiring photographers starting out. It's hard, isn't it? They want to know sort of, where do they start? When do they bump their prices up? Does it change for different brands or different influencers? You know, it's a difficult one.
Yeah, pricing has, for me, always been, to be honest, like an awful topic. Not an awful topic, but something that I really don't like to think about too much, because it takes away from the love of what you're doing.
Yeah.
As soon as you start talking about money and numbers, it's just like, ugh. Like, but establishing a price point, I think, know what you need to survive, first of all. And then aim a little bit above that to begin with. If you're busy and you're getting the right sort of bookings and it's picked up in the right way, great. Stick with it for a little while if you want, or, you know, slowly increase your prices. But don't, if for example, you've got regular clients that you're working with, don't increase your prices without warning. Give it like a couple of months, maybe, hey, by the way, just a heads up, in, you know, 3 or 4 months, my price is going to be changing to this. Let me know if it's something that's okay with you. Or how that sits, and hopefully, you know, if it's not a drastic increase in price, it'll be okay, as long as, you know, that working arrangement's beneficial still to both parties. But establishing your price point, I think, understand what your running costs are, and know how much you need and how much you want, and try and understand what you can do in the day to make that happen, and start from there. Honestly, I've been quite lucky in how I've sort of progressed in what I've been doing, that I've sort of landed very well meeting
at
the right
time,
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the repeat business comes from me and what I bring to the table as well. Yeah, making sure that you bring a positive attitude towards it and deliver. Making sure that you deliver on what you've been asked to. Well, if you keep doing that, people will come back to you. But, you know, everyone says like the first year as a freelancer is your hardest in whatever field it is you're doing. And for me, it was dead quiet, like really, really quiet beyond the first 3 months that I had. Yeah, the first year was dead quiet. I just had like a sporadic job here and there, and it definitely wasn't enough to get by, but I stuck with it. I had enough savings to kind of keep me going just about, and it's been picking up since.
Amazing.
And I've been very fortunate with some of the people I've worked with, talking to other people and saying, hey, you know, this person's great. Like, if you need them, you should get them along to shoot with you, or be at weddings and friends. Friends and family and your network is like the most valuable thing to you.
Absolutely.
By a long way.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's been amazing chatting to you. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Oh.
I could chat all day, but have you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to like give some answers.
Yeah, I know our listeners are going to love this episode too. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And thank you to everyone listening. We'll be back with another TBP Talks episode in March. Bye.
Bye.